Good morning and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we explore the people, practices, and priorities shaping health and wellness across the Upper Cumberland. Today we're focusing on skin health, sun safety, and prevention, just in time for summer and UV Safety Awareness Month, which is in July. So we're joined by Blakely Smith, an aesthetic nurse practitioner with Skin Aesthetics in Cookeville, Tennessee. She's here to help us understand how daily choices impact the long-term health and appearance of our skin.
Blakely, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I remember when you were a student.
I know.
It's been a long time.
5 minutes ago.
I love that. Yes. And I know she said you were an aesthetic nurse practitioner. I believe you are dual certified. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. FNP and acute care. Is that right?
Or adult gero.
Thank you.
Yes,
okay.
You don't want me in acute care.
No. Adult gero. So then tell us a little bit about your background for the listeners and what kind of led you to aesthetics and skincare as your passion.
So I initially actually started out for a very short stint in pediatrics, and that was overall medically fragile and terminally ill, aka that is why I'm definitely not acute care. And, you know, that was a really emotionally draining. It was very gratifying, mm-hmm. but very emotionally gratifying, very, very, very also draining. And so I ended up taking a job in dermatology solely for cushy hours. Like, that's not a nice thing to say, but there was no call. There was no weekends.
Oh,
I really
no.
didn't know what I was getting into.
I think self-care is important.
Yeah. So that was purely it. Took the job and I was like, how hard can this be? We're probably going to pop some pimples and it'll be great. And it was very quickly that I realized, wow, this is a whole lot more. Unfortunately, strangely enough, because it is so specialized, there was so much that you don't have the time to cover in nursing school. So it was kind of like trying to drink out of a fire hydrant at the beginning. And I fell in love with it. And now, 5 minutes later, aka many years, I had a patient that recently said, what year were you at Tech? And I started telling them, they were like, oh, and they started adding up the years. And we just don't even want to talk about numbers anymore. But so all these years later, I feel like I actually love it more now than what I did whenever I first started.
Good. And you were in Nashville, I believe. Is that right? When you started as a nurse in this practice?
So moved from Cookeville to New Orleans, New Orleans to Kansas City, Kansas City to Nashville, and then back. So I was, it's been a little bit of all over the place.
How long have you been back in Cookeville?
That's a great question. I have been back for, we're in 2025. I'm such a poor historian. Right at 3 years and a little bit of change.
Okay. Okay. Then tell us more about your practice that you are the owner of Skin and Aesthetics. What services do you offer and maybe what sets your practice apart?
So I would say as far as what sets my practice apart, or I hope that does, is that I went through, I mean, just to be completely vulnerable, getting really burnt out with aesthetic dermatology. Whenever I first started with the aesthetic part of it, it was in this really nice, very black and white, I'll call it what it is.
No.
Area that everything was by the rules. It was rigorous. We followed the rules. There was no diverting or changing anything up. There weren't med spas. And med spas aren't the enemy. It's the lack of regulations that go along with that. And so as I'm progressing in my career and I'm moving states and everything, I start realizing, wow, state to state, that really varies a lot.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people that are doing good, and there are a lot of people that are doing things right. And there's also some that are not doing things right. In Tennessee specifically, there are a lot of gray areas that people who technically aren't licensed can be doing professional services they should not be doing because they can't. Not because, like, I'm better than anybody else. They just literally can't get the training. If you cannot obtain the training, how are you able to do something safely?
Right.
So after continuing to kind of find myself.
That's just aesthetics we're talking about. So
yeah.
So for the listeners, can you explain what aesthetics?
Yeah. So more of the
difference.
Absolutely. The more cosmetic concern. So if we're talking about injectable services, like Botox, filler, lasers, even chemical peels, there's a lot of nuances with overall who can perform what.
Okay.
And so as I'm looking at all of that and I'm finding, wow, there's some stuff going on. And I guess I'm just a very optimistic person who hoped that this wasn't happening. Whenever I decided to move back home, it wasn't a thing of, oh, everybody here's terrible. There's some really stellar practices here. They are fantastic, doing things exactly right.
Right.
But it was one of those things that I had been burnt a few too many times, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to make sure that everything with certainty is done exactly as it should be. And I really want to put the emphasis on education that needs to be there. This aspect of medicine is not necessarily seen as such. The sad thing is I laugh a lot, and I shouldn't laugh about it. You have to, because it's kind of one of the things where you're trying to keep from crying. We're treated like that we're piercing ears at Claire's. Mm. And like it's just very simple, like just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say I feel like that I work at Chick-fil-A as well. Like a person will come in, especially with AI now, and say, I need this, 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 and I'm ordering it. And it's like, but you wouldn't go into your cardiologist and order up what you need. Like this, these are medical issues and these are medications.
Right.
So I wanted to be able to make sure that I brought back the medical part to it that I've seen continue to become less and less and less of the emphasis. Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's an aspect of medicine. So
it is. It is. And I applaud you for that, because evidence-based practice is the bottom line. You have to, what you're doing, you have to back up with research that's solid. And a lot of times AI doesn't do that. It will give you false information because it's very confident in its answers. So that's interesting that people are coming in with, after going to ChatGPT or Copilot or whatever, and telling you like a recipe. This is what I want.
Yes. And kind of piggybacking off of that, that's a huge issue that we're having right now, that there are, you know, even if we talk about medical grade skincare, and I'm putting air quotes around that, obviously, as you're listening, you can't hear that. That's a gimmick. It's a marketing gimmick. And there are so many. I spoke about this. I had the privilege that I thankfully didn't get tomatoed in Boston this year, that I actually pulled all of our medical grade skincare brands that are out there, their actual clinical data, and so many of them have none.
Right.
So they're making these false claims and you're going in using your cash, your hard-earned money, and hoping for the best. And there's so many non-FDA approved treatments and those types of things. It's a wonderful specialty. It's also a very unregulated specialty.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that
very true. So tell us, what types of clients do you typically see? And then also, what are some of the most common skin concerns that you address?
So I am very grateful that my practice is very, very diverse. So my patients can range all the way from, you know, a 13-year-old that's really struggling with acne, all the way to I have patients that are well into their 80s that we're looking at either, you know, whether that's skin conditions that I'm managing or talking even about the rejuvenation aspect. And it's males and females. I know we've had a great amount of growth in being able to focus on that males are also interested in skin services and also have skin disorders. I'm grateful that it is built where it truly does feel inclusive of literally everyone.
Yeah. So can you share how your work supports both health and the confidence of your clients?
Absolutely. I think that the confidence aspect for me is one that is probably the most gratifying. Our skin is the one organ that we're wearing every single day. Yep. So if you're improving your cardiac health, you're feeling better. But is anyone looking at you? Yeah, as you're losing weight and you're feeling better, you're seeing those things. But skin, you're looking at that in the mirror every single day. And so are those that are around you. So obviously confidence is a huge part of that as we're continuing to take away concerns. Whether that is that, you know, you do have acne and we're treating that, or maybe you have very uncontrolled rosacea, we're helping with that. Those are all things that we're being able to help, inflammatory diseases, those types of things. I mean, we're covering a lot of territory with the skin. And again, because it's all right there in front of you, you're seeing that impact. So it's very gratifying, again, I say, because you're watching these patients that may come in and not want to make eye contact with you the first time that they see you because they feel so self-conscious about whatever, you know, chief complaint they're coming in with. And by the time you've tackled that, the best thing about my job is whenever I will see that, like, somebody's added the clinic on social media and I'm seeing them post all of these selfies and I'm like, get it. Yes, this is great. Because I may have noticed that they had no social media presence before because they just did not want pictures taken of themselves. So
yeah,
it does impact definitely from both the medical standpoint and then also from the confidence. And that's whether it's more of the medical or even the cosmetic part too. They both are impacting
yeah,
you.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
They do.
As far as, I know you do aesthetic skin care and skin health, what about like skin cancers? Do you do any of that type, or do you refer that to someone else if it's surgical?
I do. So my background has always been dermatology and plastics, and I'm very grateful that there have been many patients, even within this year. I actually should have pulled some numbers because it's actually astonishing the amount of patients who will come in for a laser consult over a quote dark spot. And it is, I've caught multiple melanomas this year. Mm-hmm. So if I see that, I'm very thankful where, yes, I am focusing more on that aesthetic part of it. My background all has been in dermatology. So if I see something and there are those changes that are happening, I'm going ahead and getting you biopsied and then getting you set up for whether that needs to be Mohs or an excision and mm-hmm. definitive treatment on that as well.
Okay.
So no, I am not doing full body skin checks, but I am always looking at your skin. And so if you're coming in for even to talk about acne, if I'm seeing something and there's a basal cell there, we're addressing that as well and getting you in the right hands.
Awesome. So it sounds like you do a combination of things, you know, your wellness, well-being, confidence. You're doing education with your patients and,
absolutely.
And getting good results for with both.
I think, too, for the listeners, you know, I want to back up to you talked about aesthetics. You are a advanced practice RN, and I just want the listeners to know the difference of a registered
sure.
nurse in a clinic versus you're an advanced practice nurse, so you have a master's degree and more education, more experience, more clinical hours. And we're going to get to that in the next segment.
Sure.
Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. We're continuing our conversation with Blakely Smith from Skin and Aesthetics here in Cookeville. Blakely, July is UV Safety Awareness Month, and it's an important topic, especially here in Tennessee. So why is UV awareness such a critical part of overall health, not just for aesthetic reasons?
So this is one of my favorite things to talk about, probably.
Oh, perfect.
And I'll try to keep it short.
No, don't.
But overall, after you've spent as many years, specifically in Mohs surgery, where we are, I mean, not to be like too brutally honest, the patients who did not realize what it was doing. And so they've just spent their whole entire life out in the sun, no sun protection, because they tan easy.
Mm.
And they were never burning. And you hear all the different things until they're there with a basal cell that has ended up being super invasive. And now we've got a complete reconstruction of their nose or maybe their entire ear. Or, I mean, it is so traumatic for them. And unfortunately, at the time that you're beginning to see all of this really come to the surface, were years past whenever all of it was done. So it's not one of those things. A lot of patients will say, well, I haven't been out in the sun over the last couple of years. And it's like, well, okay, we're now reaping all of the, you know, effects over years and years and years where you weren't protecting your skin. And then obviously, again, with the aesthetic part, patients are coming in and saying, oh, well, I really want to invest in Botox or this or that. And they're still laying out in the sun or they're still laying in a tanning bed, which is insane to me. But
mm-hmm.
It's from so many different perspectives, not only premature aging, but also putting your health at risk and definitely also impacting just overall the inflammatory processes, too.
Yeah. You hear it a lot now that teenagers are talking about, you know, the UV number because they're laying out in the sun. I don't know if you see as many people as back whenever I was a teenager that use tanning beds, even though I know they still do. And it shocks me that people still use tanning beds. But it's just as harmful, if not worse.
Right. And I will say, I am not holier than thou. I will publicly always admit, and I admit to my patients, I don't know if I was just delusional enough that I thought my freckles would all connect to create a tan. I'm not sure what I was going for.
That is
but
awesome.
I lived
so for the
in
listeners,
it.
Blakely is
in recovery.
No, she has beautiful porcelain skin, and she has freckles, and she has a little reddish tint to her hair. So absolutely, she's very fair skinned and light eyed. If you've never seen her, so yeah, her freckles were not going to match.
It was never going to happen.
No.
But I look at overall, we went through my generation being really bad about that being almost a social circle. To be honest, you left school, you went to the tanning bed. That was just what we did. Mm-hmm. Then we started realizing, oh, we're having 20-year-olds with basal cell skin cancers. So we started emphasizing sun protection. Great. Mm-hmm. The issue is some of the most recent data from the American Academy of Dermatology is looking at specifically this Gen Z population. They are prioritizing skincare in such an interesting way of kind of maybe going a little too far.
Okay.
But then at the same time, they are saying that they are okay with getting a sunburn if it means that they're going to be tan. Mm-hmm. So it's counterintuitive. It's like, oh, we're so focused on our skin and everything else, but actually we're not. So those are not the same things of like you can do so much skincare and buy so much. I'm tired of hearing drunk elephant, but like they're doing a great job in the marketing. I can have 50 drunk elephant products, but I'm still going to go out here and get sunburnt on the weekend because I want to look good really, really great right now. And there's just no excuse for that because here's the thing. Again, I'm a realist. I'm always a realist. We have psychological studies that prove in having an active tan, people feel more confident.
Yeah.
We have a million and one really stellar options of spray tans and sunless tanners now.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have to be super expensive. There's some options at Target that won't stain your sheet. Again, I am fluorescent. If I am speaking at a conference, I always have. I don't want to blind the audience, so I will do a spray tan. And there's amazing options that are out there that aren't like what it used to be where you look like you had either fell in a Cheetos bag or were an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not like Ross from Friends.
It's not. It's not anymore, though.
That's good.
Okay, so we were talking about UV, but how do UVA and UVB rays differ, and how do they affect the skin over time?
So I always think of things in a very simplistic term. And so I always think UVA is going to be more of your aging. UVB is going to be your burning.
Okay.
So whenever we're looking at overall, UVA and UVB are still both – people get confused a little bit on this, and they'll say, oh, well, I don't – if I'm not burning, then I'm tanning. Get confused on some of this. This is all detrimental to our skin. Mm-hmm. Either way you want to wrap it. And even blue light. Blue light is as well. Like you can wrap all of that UV exposure into one little box and say maybe one's burning you just because you're not getting a burn. That doesn't mean that it's good for your skin.
Right.
So on that same line of thinking, you know, on my smartwatch for the weather, it'll have a UV number.
Absolutely.
Is that just the overall UVA, UVB, or do you know? I mean, I don't know.
So we've got a little gimmicky on all of this.
Yes, okay.
To the point that it kind of can go back to the whole entire argument of like, well, the clouds are out. I don't need sunscreen.
Yes.
We're focusing on numbers. And we can even get that way on sunscreens just to be down. And I won't go super in depth on that rabbit hole. But like, let's stop talking so much about numbers and talk about proper application and reapplication and those types of things. Because, again, we're getting fixated on numbers that are trending or things that are trending instead of the basics of it, which is UV is damaging, period.
Perfect. Yep. Like salt is salt.
Yeah.
You know, when I talk to patients about blood pressure.
Absolutely.
It's still salt.
It's a weird, trendy thing that's happening right
it
now.
Really
but the,
is.
But the basis of it is UV damages our skin, and that is an organ that is essential to us. So let's like maybe not do it.
Yeah.
So that answers my next question then. What does UV damage look like? Early skin damage.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you have to remember that the early part of it, you will start seeing different changes that are happening over time, whether that's kind of this glycation process of seeing the skin looking different. Maybe some people call it more leathery, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the early thing. It's not like a 14-year-old lays out for a weekend and then they look like leather. Right. They're going to develop a tan, right?
Right.
And so that is our body's process of trying to protect itself. And we get so fixated again on that confidence part with the tan that we forget, hey, our body isn't trying to make you feel confident. It's trying to protect its cellular DNA.
Right.
This is not a good thing.
Yep.
Yeah. So we've talked about how it affects our skin aging, UV.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do preventative-wise?
There's so many options now that it's actually great. Obviously, the easiest one is sunscreen, and mm-hmm. that includes proper application and reapplication, as I said. We've now ended up with such incredible brands that are out there that are trying to make it nearly foolproof. So they will give you brushes and everything. I mean, we have so many. Where it used to be, I mean, I get it. You don't want to be a teenager and look like Casper the Friendly Ghost at the pool. Like, that's not cool.
Right.
We have actual mineral-based sunscreens that are considered no-show, and they truly are no-show.
Yeah.
So you can be a higher Fitzpatrick skin type that used to, you would look grayish, have some mm-hmm. weird hues to your skin if you wore sunscreen, which would be off-putting. That's no longer the case. We also have some protective clothing. I mean, the options are pretty much endless at this point. We have so much new technology that's out there.
Wonderful. We'll talk more about application when we come back.
We're joined today by Blakely Smith in this last segment. She is an aesthetic nurse practitioner at Skin and Aesthetics, which she owns, for a conversation today about sun safety and long-term skin health.
So we were talking sunscreen in our last segment, and we were talking about reapplication. So I kind of wanted to go back and talk more about sunscreen and what people should look for in a quality sunscreen product, and what is your application recommendations?
So as far as with sunscreen, at the end of the day, you have to figure out what is going to work for you. Obviously, I have my personal opinions and everything else, but I always tell my patients,
opinions.
And it's also based on me personally, though, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had my own reactions with, I do not mesh well with chemical sunscreens. Mm-hmm. And so there are going to be patients that may be their preference. It's not my personal one. Again, I want them to wear a sunscreen, though, at the end of the day.
Right.
So if that's the brand that they absolutely love and they're going to wear, then I don't care.
Yeah.
The big thing is, are you applying it correctly and are you reapplying it correctly to protect yourself? So as far as the whole thing with, like, what sunscreens do I love, that type of thing, whenever I was talking about that I didn't necessarily love chemical sunscreens, that is just simply because there are going to be things that it's going to aggravate. Mm-hmm. So if I have an acne patient, there is a strong potential it may aggravate your acne. Mm-hmm. Why am I going to want that for you? If I have someone with extremely sensitive skin, you can have some sensitivity issues. Why do I want that for you? So overall, I do prefer a mineral sunscreen. I have so much research I could throw at you right now, but especially these zinc oxide ones, mm-hmm. I don't really care. You could be the most sensitive person in the world. You should not be having a reaction to that because we have the clinical data to support that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I touched on a little bit before, finding a correct type of ingredient list and recipe list that's going to be perfect for your Fitzpatrick skin type to where you're going to feel confident in it is really important as well. I do feel like that, I'm going to give a shameless plug, there's been one brand that has really stood out above and beyond all the rest of them. They have poured, I couldn't even guess how much money into research. They've did a fantastic job of making sure that they talk to patients. Where are your barriers? Where do you struggle with application? Mm-hmm. And so they were the first, and to my knowledge, I don't think I'm misspeaking here, I think they're the only one that's approved right now as far as a brush by the actual Skin Cancer Foundation for active use, which, of course, that's another thing. If you're somebody that's out sweating, you have to think about that too. So we're looking at reapplication every 2 hours, but if you're profusely sweating, or you're swimming,
right,
or you're doing anything else that you're getting that off, that's going to change that,
right?
And so they've done such a wonderful job of, you're literally just able to, I'll tap it on my forearm to actually get it to going, and I can just apply it brushing on my skin, on my scalp, anywhere else that I want to reapply that sunscreen, and it takes all of like 30 seconds.
What brand is this?
Color Science.
Color Science. I have not heard of this one.
It's a really...
And it comes in a brush?
It does come in a brush.
They have...
So the reason why they have ended up being like my absolute favorite, they have become... They've figured out what do people hate about sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
So they have areas that you are commonly neglecting, lips, mm-hmm, eyelids. Mm-hmm. How many basal cells do we see on an eyelid? Ears, too. Mm-hmm. But so people are better now than they were about ears.
Yeah.
Eyelids and lips, they're not doing. So mm-hmm, we have lipsticks that are sunscreen. We have lip glosses that are sunscreen. We have eyeshadow that is sunscreen. Hmm. We have all these different things. So you can do an entire quote-unquote makeup look, and it's literally just all SPF, and it's all mineral-based.
I
don't have to worry about it hurting anyone or breaking anybody out. And again, they just make it really easy to reapply whether you're wanting to use that kind of quote-unquote as your makeup. So I disagree with using like, oh, I have my SPF in my makeup. That's an issue because you're typically not using the amount. So overall, for you to get good protection, you would have to be using like a shot glass full of your makeup.
On your face.
On your face. So that would be interesting. How much money are you going through? Like,
wow.
Because so the shot glass,
tube.
The shot glass full for your body is the whole thing. But as far as they actually did a comparative study of looking at what's the amount for the full actual coverage, because there's so, it's diluted down by everything else that's going on. Mm-hmm. And you're having to use like pretty much your whole bottle of going in there to actually get the correct. And then you have to think about also reapply. So you're going to look great at the end of the day if you're just using your makeup to be here. You look great. I think it's fantastic.
So we said particular products or ingredients, zinc. What about titanium dioxide?
Yeah.
Is that your
Those are all going to be your mineral-based. I will say zinc oxide usually ends up typically being kind of the heavier hitter between the two.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. Titanium
if you can get them both in one.
You can. You sure
that's
can.
That's awesome. Great. And so that's the best for sensitive and acne-prone skin.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. So besides sunscreen, other ways people can protect their skin from UV damage. Now, we mentioned shirts.
Yes.
Like a protective apparel.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
So there's all different things. There are actually one thing that my males, not to be mean to them, tend to forget is as far as especially if their hair is thinning, that is all right there exposed to the sun. And so it's funny because I had a patient that followed up 1 year and he said, "You're going to be so proud of me. I've been wearing my hat all summer long." And I said, "I am fully aware, sir. Because it is mesh in the back and I can literally see the tan line of where." So you also mm-hmm. have to think about that what hat you're using is very important because if it's completely mesh and the sun's just going through it, it's kind of like the equivalent of getting like croc tan lines.
Yes.
That's not a great look.
Yeah.
So something that's actually protecting, they actually make some really nice SPF fabric, more wide brim hats too, to also protect your ears so you're not having to worry about that reapplication as much. Obviously, protecting your eyes is also a big part of that. So wearing sunglasses. There are so many swimsuit companies that are coming out with the rash guards that have really nice protective. There are also huge visors that are kind of trending right now. I mean, there's a million different ways to be able. We have more ways now than ever to be able to protect your skin. So it kind of comes down to, even in the case of maybe someone who's not wanting to reapply, then wear long sleeve shirts and you're able to go ahead and have that protection as well.
I wear a gaiter.
Yeah.
I like a gaiter.
And they're very cool too, to be honest.
They are. They're kind of sweat wicking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is my favorite part of the segment. I like to talk about myths versus truths.
Okay.
So things that people say, and I want you to tell us if it's true or not.
Okay, lie detector.
Right. Well, no. Just your expert opinion. Yeah, yeah. First one is, I only need sunscreen at the beach or the pool because of the water.
Absolutely not.
What's the truth there?
The truth is, if you are alive, you need sunscreen.
Yeah. If you're outside.
You're outside.
Well
no, you're right.
In the car.
Inside. Yeah. Inside as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I know that's not everybody's like preference, but that's the first thing that I do every single morning is mm-hmm. put on sunscreen.
Same.
Even if I don't want to put on anything else, I'm putting on my, you know, maybe I'm not wearing makeup that day. I'm wearing my sunscreen because, again, you have to think about UVA, UVB, and then also the blue light as well. So, and just overall protection. So, yeah, I mean, every single day you should be applying it, no matter where you're at.
Yeah. You ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
Okay. If I tan easily and I don't burn, I don't need to worry about sun exposure.
False.
How else would you respond to that one?
So that one, again, goes back to understanding what a tan is. So if you're tanning, you're still, your body is still trying to protect. It's your body's protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you are getting enough that your body is trying to protect itself. So we need to be very, very careful. Obviously, yes, we do know that the more burns you have, that's going to make you more susceptible to being in that higher likelihood for different types of skin cancers. But just because you are, I mean, we have high Fitzpatrick skin types that end up with skin cancer. So that just goes ahead and in and of itself debunks.
So what is a Fitzpatrick? You've mentioned that about three times. So is that based on your skin color?
It is. Okay. And so the higher the number, you are going to have darker skin types.
I understand.
So if you have someone who has very, very dark skin, mm-hmm. that's someone who has never in their life struggled with a tan, right? Like they were born with it.
Yeah.
And they are very, so melanin is what is producing that pigment. They are able to produce that very well, unlike myself. If we have patients that have skin cancers that even are very much in the melanin department, then that goes ahead and again debunks that just because you can tan doesn't mean that you need to protect it.
Perfect. Yeah. And I think we've already talked about this one, about makeup, and is that enough? Is the SPF in my makeup enough?
It's
and we've
not,
already debunked that is not enough.
It is not.
Not enough.
A whole shot glass of makeup on your face.
I love it.
If you do it, though, let me know. I want to see it.
I'll just cake it right on there.
Yeah. Every 2 hours, too,
I'll take
please.
A picture of her.
Please do.
A whole shot glass full.
Okay. So, lastly, this is the last one we got. Once I see sun damage, there's nothing I can do.
That one's also false. You know, again, I outed myself on this, that I, too, have made some poor life decisions in the sun department. And we have, again, so many different things that we can do. Obviously, skin cancer screening is so important if you know that you have received kind of that overexposure. And just everybody should be getting yearly skin checks. The more exposure, obviously, we're wanting to be more cautious on that. Other things, we now have actual lasers that are out there that we do know are changing some of that cellular damage, mm-hmm. which is fantastic that we've progressed to that point. There are also going to be other different procedures that we have as well that are able to really reverse some of that, both from the health aspect and then also from the aging portion as well.
Yeah. So you would say that is
false.
Again. So tell us, for the listeners,
sure.
People who are wanting consultations, they're wanting to get in touch with you. How can our listeners get in touch with you, or can they schedule a consult with you?
They sure can. So we've tried to make it as somewhat easy as possible for patients, because I know it's hard, especially if you're working all day long, to try to call and everything else. So you can actually both call and text our secure line.
Okay.
The number is 931-260-0327.
Okay.
So you're able to both call and text that. And then we also, if you go to our website, which is www.skinandaesthetics.com, there is a button that will say book now. And that actually sets it up where you can create a patient profile, and you can go ahead and schedule yourself as well, which you're able to kind of go in there and fill out anything that is a specific concern of yours. And then, of course, the other way would be to going to the website. There's one that's a contact us. You can literally fill out what exactly that concern is.
Okay.
Maybe you don't know exactly what all you're needing to do, or what, you know, how to get started. We're always happy to help with any of that. There's no stupid question at the clinic. That's for
sure. Awesome. So you have call or text line. You have a website. You can just do a form, too, for
Absolutely.
Them to contact you. And then do you have a Facebook,
too? We do. We have a Facebook. We have an Instagram, which are both the Skin and Aesthetic Clinic. It's the little at symbol beforehand. Yeah, so both through Facebook and Instagram as well.
Awesome.
We are gladly accept it.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and expertise, and for the important care you provide to clients right here in the Upper Cumberland. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on Local Matters, Health Matters, as you enjoy the sunshine this summer. It's super hot in July. Remember to protect your skin, prioritize prevention, and build healthy habits that last a lifetime.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.